in one particular area. I've listened to the 6 o'clock news too much, and I just about gave up on America. I just about believed that we had our time and our chance and our opportunity, and we've blown it, which we have done that quite well. But I don't believe God's given up on us. And I believe with all my heart from what I'm hearing and seeing, because I'm doing some searching. You need to start listening and looking around America today to know what's going on. There is a revival going on in America. And it's one of the unusual revivals, because it's not happening exactly the way we think revivals ought to be happening, but it is a strong revival. It's a revival of one-on-one ministry instead of large mega ministries. It's a revival of people that are hitting the street and telling people about Jesus and seeing miracles that are happening right in front of their very faces. This week I was privileged to have Ruth's first cousin, and now mine by marriage, down from Kansas City, who heads up a huge ministry in Kansas City, pastored for 25 years at a great church. But God told him to leave that church and to start a ministry for pastors. I believe there are almost 2,000 pastors in the city of Kansas City. And he started a ministry that ministers to pastors. And when he first told me about it, I thought, buddy, you got an uphill climb there to do. And I love you. He's been at our church, loves our church. In fact, September, I think, there's going to be a big family reunion of his 14 brothers and sisters besides him. There are 15 of them, all successful and blessed. But he started this move, and now this move has not only taken over the city of Kansas City, the school system of Kansas City has opened their doors, and they're going in and having assemblies on being a good individual, and then at the end of the assembly, he's telling them, now tonight we're going to have another meeting here, another assembly, and you can bring your parents and come, or come by yourself, doesn't matter, but we're going to talk about something different. We're going to talk about your soul and your eternal life, and we're going to tell you about Jesus. And the kids in Kansas City and their parents are flooding the schools, and hundreds are being saved. They're being saved and led to the Lord. They're going on the streets and they're witnessing. Before they go, they're starting prayer. And in this time of prayer, they're meeting with people and individuals. And they pray, and then they go out on the street. And they're going on the street believing in the power of the Holy Spirit working in the believer. Now, let me explain and do a little reading to you as I unfold this story to you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, and Paul's talking to Timothy in the second chapter, in the 20th verse, it says this: now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If you read that and stop there, you think, well, God, I guess I was, you immediately, unless you just have a really strong ego, immediately think, God, I guess probably because of what I've done in my background and my past, I'll just be happy being a vessel of dishonor. But if you read a little further, and I'm going to read the next to you in just a minute, you're going to find out that those vessels of dishonor are there because of their own doing. And if you are a vessel of dishonor and believe that, then it's because you don't want to be a vessel of honor. How many wants to be a vessel of honor in here? Say amen if you do. A vessel of honor. So this is why you read slow and you read all the text. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, and he talks about them from verse 14 down, the things that cause us problems. He said, if you'll cleanse yourself, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for a few good works. Are you all reading behind me? How many good works? Every. Now, this isn't elementary. This is causing you to listen to the words and not read the scripture too quickly. This is causing you to understand the totality of the word. He's saying that you will be prepared for every good work. This cousin of ours who pastored there for many years, Phil, was telling me that he took a team of his people from Kansas City to Dallas, I think a couple weeks ago. He said they prayed and they went out on the street. A Baptist pastor that was with them, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him to say this to people. And I'm going to use that same pattern this morning for you. And you say, well, you're copycatting. No, I'm not. I'm doing what the Holy Spirit told me to do, because he said, if I did it there, I'll do it here if you'll listen to me. Now, it's my job to obey the Holy Spirit and give you the opportunity. It's your job to listen to the call and respond to the call and receive the blessing. He said they went into the city and they began to witness in neighborhoods, apartment complexes, and different ones. They were telling people about Jesus in one particular apartment complex. They were going to be there several days. And on Monday, they began to tell people about it, and there was a young Mexican couple there that walked by and heard it. And someone asked them if they were interested in hearing, and they said, absolutely not. We don't believe in this junk. Get lost. It's just a fairy tale. And they left. The next day, they came back, and they were walking by. They happened to be there at the same time. Happened to be. There's no coincidence in the kingdom of God. They were telling about Jesus, and this young couple walked by and said, look, we're a little resentful about this because you're all out here with a big happy face, and we've got a 16-year-old nephew that's dying with cancer. So this Baptist preacher came to the couple and said, if God would do a miracle for you today, what would it be, and can I pray with you for it? And they said, well, it's impossible. This nephew of ours has cancer, and he's dying. So the pastor said, well, what would it hurt? And they said, I don't guess anything. So they weren't even involved. They just held his hand. He prayed, God, in Jesus' name, I believe you're able to heal cancer in a 16-year-old child. What's his name? They told him. They named the name of the boy. And the couple went away on Tuesday. On Thursday, they're back to the same complex, and this couple runs up to them and said, Pastor, we don't know how to explain this and how to tell you, but we went back to the hospital, and the very hour that you prayed for us, our nephew was checked, and he is cancer-free without any cancer, and we want to know more about this Jesus. And they were saved, and now they're starting a Bible study in their home. One of the men on the team that was down there, one of the men went into a filling station. They were prayed up. They walked into the filling station. There was a lady standing behind the counter. And when he walked in, the lady went, you're him. And he went, yep, I am. I'm me. Always have been. He was aggravated because his credit card wouldn't work out on the machine. So out of aggravation, he went into the gas station and said, here, this is good. I know it's good. Here, Sean, run it in there. And he gave it to this lady. And before he could say anything, she said, you're him. You're him. And he goes, what are you talking about? She said, I'm a Muslim. She said, I've been studying about Jesus since 1969. But last night I had a dream and God said, I'm going to send a man to you that'll tell you about Jesus, and you're him. I knew you when you walked in. I knew you in my dream. And he led her to Christ, and she is a practicing Christian child of God today. They were at another area, and my cousin walked into an area, and there were some Iranian people there, and there was a young couple that God had put in this complex to lead people to the Lord. They'd been saved and filled the Holy Spirit, and they'd moved to America. And when my cousin walked in, he shook hands with them. And when he shook hands and their hands touched, the man said, you're different. You're not like some of them that come by. You're different. And Phil went, no, I'm not really different. He went, oh, yes, you are. You have power in the Holy Spirit in your life, and I can feel that power in your hand. These people have been persecuted and imprisoned and don't play games, but they recognize the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I'm telling you this morning. Two things. We're going to address your miracles for this reason, to build your faith. That's why God uses miracles. He uses miracles for people to see the power of God, and the miracles draw people to the truth that Jesus is Lord. My friends, listen to me. This watered down gospel that we've listened to long enough has come to an end, and there is a revival in the nation today, and I believe God is raising men and women today that are so hungry for Him that they're going to walk in, stand in, and speak with the authority of the Holy Spirit and see signs and wonders that's going to lead people to Christ. If that's true, I want this church to be on the tip of that spear this morning, and I want us to be part of it. If you do, say amen. Amen. When you look all through the Word of God, God uses men and women. Go to Joshua, the very first chapter. It's an amazing story of a man who was an understudy to Moses. Joshua was there when Moses needed him. He didn't ask for the limelight, didn't try to get the limelight. He was just a servant of God. It was Joshua and Caleb that were part of the 12 that went into the promised land and saw the promise and realized the miraculous event that was going to take place when the other 10 came back and said, we see ourselves. Look at this. And Christians today, I want to change your perspective of yourself. They came back and 10 of the 12 said, we see ourselves as grasshoppers compared to those guys over there. That was their spiritual image of themselves. Some of you have a grasshopper mentality. Some of you have a grasshopper syndrome, and where you got it is listening to the diluted and less than powerful Word of God that's permeated the church world today and absenced itself from the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, in this church, we invite the power of the Holy Spirit, not only corporately, but individually. And I believe that power in you is going to change the community you live in. And I'm talking about starting in the morning. Powerful change in lives because of your hunger and your desire. God calls on Joshua, and he says this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, to the sons of Israel. And every place, I want you to say this with me, every place on which the sole of your feet treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. I'm telling you today, if you can grasp what I'm going to tell you and get out of the neutral zone and believe in the supernatural power of God that He can and will work through you, that tomorrow you're going to start a new walk with Christ and you're going to see miracles that start taking place that not only encourage you but draw people to the Lord. When these miracles start taking place in Dallas, and there were many, many more that he told me about, he said one of the good Baptist brothers was there and said, well, you know, we're not Pentecostal. You are. You're used to things like that. And he said, I'll be honest with you. I'm Pentecostal, but we haven't seen this in quite a while. I'm not used to it, but I'd like to get used to it again. And my friends, listen to me. I want to see the power of the Holy Spirit manifested in our personal lives, in our community, and this church again in a greater way than we've ever seen it in the past. And this is what I know, that God is going through the country today, and he's listening and looking for people that are hungry and crying out to him. You don't have to have a degree in theology. You don't have to have any particular talent. All you have to have is a hunger, and this morning God's going to start that move in your life today if you're hungry enough and you want that. If you do, say amen. God called Joshua to lead the people of Israel. Out of his lack of training, possibly, maybe lack of education, didn't matter. He said, this is what you need to understand. Every place in which the sole of your feet treads, I have given it to you, as I have spoke to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. He laid out the nation and territory of Israel. Then he said this, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I'll be with you, and I will not fail you or forsake you. Listen to me this morning. If you'll take this charge that's coming to you, God, who is the God of the living word, that his word changes not, it's as appropriate for me to believe this word for me today as it was Joshua in the day of Joshua, because God's word is alive and active, and I can take his promises and apply them to my life when I choose a righteous lifestyle, and he will invoke that promise in me and use me. If you believe God will do that and you wave at me, let me see that you know God will. We have seen in this church in the last few weeks a woman with stage 4 cancer that the doctors had given up on and was going to do surgery only to send her home to die, and she's sitting right here this morning. Stand up, Doris. You were supposed to be dead just about a month ago, but God instantly completely healed her. We've seen people sitting on the front row on their way to St. John's Hospital with ruptured gallbladder, doctors waiting to do surgery in pain, but stopped for prayer on the way there. Walk up here. I laid my hands on this lady's stomach, which I normally never do. Prayed. They went to St. John's Hospital, checked her, and released her with a perfectly fine gallbladder, healed. A young lady that was in softball, was it softball? That Brandon come to me, was 16 years old, was hit. Her air pipe was crushed. She was induced in coma, in bad shape. We prayed right up here at the end of that service. You say, you believe, you're claiming that? Absolutely, I believe it. I bound that with Brandon Scott. Wave at him, Brandon. Went home, the doctors checked her. She came out of the coma. They removed all the pipes. It was bad news to the family. 15 hours later, she went home fine, and she's healed today. I'm telling you, in this church, they're starting, and they're not little, and they're drawing people to the knowledge that Jesus has the power, and it's giving people to believe that if you have a need, God will answer your need, and it gives you the courage to go ask someone else what their need is and see them turn to Christ. Through the hand of Joshua, God did incredible miracles, crossing the Jordan, the Jericho, and all the different battles that they had. Sometimes when God calls you, he calls you to the most remote, hopeless situation. Don't let the circumstance dictate your attitude. When you come for prayer this morning for your need, and then God heals you and shows you or helps you and gives you the courage to go somewhere else, don't expect to go to an instant revival. Create a revival. How can I create a revival? Surrender to God. Go where he asks you to do. Do what he asks you to do. And when you do, you're going to see the Spirit of God begin to move. I'm telling you, that setting in this congregation this morning are miracles and salvations that are getting ready to happen that are going to astound everyone around you, not by you or not any gift that you have, but by the power of the authority of the Holy Spirit working through you, because you were willing to step out and go to a place that maybe no one else would. Ezekiel chapter 37 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Now think about this. Picture, if you could picture a valley of dry bones, thousands of bones bleached out and white, separated from the skeletal structure, just laying out in the middle of a valley, and God brings you out there and says, is there any hope for this? You think this can be helped? My friends, God always sends you in absolutely impossible circumstances for him to prove that no other way could have been done except by him. So Ezekiel's prophecy comes to him and he says, do you think this anything can happen here? And Ezekiel goes, hey, I don't know. So he says this, and he said to him, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. All right, now listen to me. I tell you not to read too fast. Let's break this down. God gave his command to a prophet, and he told him to prophesy over the bones and say to the bones, hear the word of the Lord. There was a pattern, there was a structure, there was obedience that had to be followed. I heard the voice of God. You're hearing the voice of God this morning. Not my voice. You're hearing his word through the prophet, through the preacher. If you believe what I'm telling you this morning is true, say amen. Amen. I pray that God anoints me, that I don't speak my words. I speak what he gives me, what the Holy Spirit tells me to tell you. I'm not giving you some sealed guarantee that says if you'll do this, this will happen by me. I'm giving you one by God, and it's God's responsibility, and he's very responsible to keep his word true. Amen? He said, listen to this. He said, I want you to prophesy. That means you speak to these bones and tell them to listen or to hear what the word of God says, what the command of God is. So he was putting Ezekiel in the place of delivering a message to a bunch of dry bones. Now, can you imagine speaking to a valley full of desolate dry bones? Okay. I mean, they're dead and dry. They're disjointed. They're there. But if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. Speak to these bones. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to the dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. My friends, listen to me. On every creative miracle God's ever done, it was to bring glory and praise back to him being God. And I'm telling you, as you're sitting here and the enemy's trying to get you to check out and say, no, this isn't for me, this is for those spiritual bunch here, that God is speaking to you. I'm talking to you that have a poor self-image of your walk with Christ. For those of you that believe that it's just good enough to be an old clay pitcher in the house because I've done so many things. You don't understand the totality of redemption, that you're as sterling silver or as pure gold as you can get in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking to those of you that don't believe you have that personality, that zing that needs to go out and do something like this because you're a quiet individual or maybe a little bashful, or maybe you just don't feel like that God's ever used you like that, and what would he? I'm telling you this, that he told Ezekiel to speak to something before it was. Address it in the bad state it's in. When someone says no and God tells you yes, don't listen to the no. When God tells you to do something and people tell you it's impossible, don't listen to the impossible. When God tells you to go and everyone else tells you to stay, go. Be faithful to God before you see the results. When he told him to speak, he said, speak to the dry bones and I'll do all these things. He had the promise of God. I'm giving you the same promise this morning with the same authority and the same power that Ezekiel received from God, telling you that God is going to send you to a valley of dry bones. Don't look at the dry bones and surmise what can be done. Listen to the results that God has promised you who are obedient and hungry for his word, willing to go out into an area and be looked at as probably absolutely insane. A man's out speaking in a valley of dry bones, but God gave me a promise. Tendons would come and muscles would come and flesh would cover them and they would stand up and breath would come into them and they would once again be a strong army. And the end result is this, that in these last seconds, milliseconds of time, God is going to, through individuals, raise up an army in America that's going to stand up and say, Jesus is Lord, the Holy Spirit is our authority and power, and the Word of God is absolutely unquestionable, and he's going to do it through the most unlikely people, only those who say, Lord, I'm hungry for your Word. They're going to draw tens of thousands to Jesus Christ through miraculous events that take place because they're obedient. And people are going to be saved. Muslims are going to be saved. Jews are going to be saved. Hindus are going to be saved. All of the different nations of the world that make this country the great country it is are going to come to the knowledge of Christ before the return. Joel says in chapter 2, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and this is the day of the pouring. So Ezekiel did this. Listen to this. You have to be obedient. So I prophesied, chapter 37, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, in the middle of the prophecy, he's standing up there and he's saying, dry bones, God said that he would do this, and he's going through. And all of a sudden he begins to hear some clatter. And old Ezekiel has to stop just a second. He's saying, this is spooky. There's something moving out there. God's actually using me. As he was prophesying, think about this. As he was prophesying, as I, and in fact, this is in the first person. As I was prophesying, there was a noise of rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them of skin, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And I said to the Lord, and he said to me, listen to this, and he gives him another command. Prophesy to breathe, to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. My friends, listen, one man was responsible for one army. And if we believe the word of God today and begin to see the miraculous signs and wonders that God will use to draw people to Christ, if you're hungry enough to abandon the futility of sin and the little junky things that keep you from powering God and say, I'm abandoning anything in my life save serving Jesus Christ, He will use you. And you're not here by happenstance. You're not here because this is your church and you regularly attended or you visited. You're here by the providence of God, as surely as that man walked into that gas station from Kansas City in Dallas, Texas, and he was the man in the dream of a Muslim woman the night before, but she looked him in the face, said, I'd know you anywhere. I saw you in a dream last night, and she accepted Messiah, Yeshua, as Messiah, and he became the Lord of Lords and King of Kings in her life. Jesus became her Savior. My friends, when you start living in this walk and walking in this walk, God will encourage you and strengthening you, and your obedience to Him will become easier. But first, you have to find a valley of dry bones and stand out in the middle of it and speak to something that isn't, to see that it's going to be what God says it is. How many of you have lost loved ones in here? Let me see your hands. How many of you have, anybody in here got some that are just hopelessly lost? I mean, just, both my hands are up right here. Let me just explain something to you. That's your dry bones. How many of you need miracles in your life? Let me see your hands right now. Raise your hand. God needs a miracle. That's your valley of dry bones. You've got to trust in Him. This morning, God's going to do that. God is going to do it. I'm going to do this in a way that's going to have some order. And it's not going to have a lot of fanfare because I don't believe there was a lot of music playing in Dallas, Texas, and wind wasn't blowing everyone's hair, and there wasn't the sound of angels. There was just people standing on the street talking to people, and God did miracles. Do you believe God can do miracles in this room this morning? God, the Holy Ghost, is in this room, and He's come in this room for this very reason today. I'm going to ask Pastor Matt, if you'll move over here, Pastor Todd over here, Pastor Brad, move here, Pastor Dave, I want you to move over here. Pastor Donnie, if we have to put canned music on, I want you over here. Dr. Shockley, I want you up here, please. Dr. Lundy, I want you to come up here to pray for someone. I want to pray for you. I want you to come up here right now and stand. And I'm going to form lines. Here's what I'm going to do. There's others I could call. This will be fine. Don't be offended if you're not called. God will use you in time. I want everyone in this room to stand up. Steve, I want you to put on something that's worshipful.